Ronaldo's got that twist now and pivot in the air.
Yeah.
I look at him doing that and I'm thinking, ooh, be careful. Yeah. That's like cruise shit. That's potential cruise shit in the making.
Subscribe now to the OTB Football Podcast stream wherever you get your podcasts and download the OTB Sports app.
OTB AM. With Gillette. Put your best face forward with our new and improved razors.
Ronan Mullen joins us to talk to us about the fallout from the Anthony Joshua fight at the weekend. Ronan, good morning to you. How are you?
Oh, good, Jay. How are things?
So, walking along and look up and there's a billboard and it's Anthony Joshua advertising a sports drink and the words "Be Humble" are emblazoned across the sports drink and I'm like, well, it's going to be pretty easy for him to be humble after that because he was absolutely humbled at the weekend.
Yeah, it seems, and it's probably something we can delve into, but in the ring he seems to be caught between a couple of different styles in terms of his approach to these fights, and similarly, like that billboard you're alluding to, his sort of public persona as opposed to the Anthony Joshua we see every now and then, you know, the like when he actually puts his actual personality out there, you know, he's quite an engaging character, but he's got this sort of media driven polished persona that has been sort of molded since he turned pro. And I think increasingly, and we've only had two examples of this so far, but in his losses he tends to open up a bit, and as you said, like, he could not but be sort of humble after that defeat at the weekend because it was conclusive. I was there for the Andy Ruiz one and that was a bolt from the blue. Like, the oxygen just dissipated from the arena, such was the shock. It was kind of going Joshua's way. He was floating along, and then Andy Ruiz caught him with a bit of a freak punch in the top of the head, and he could never sort of redress that balance. But on this occasion, it was just from the off, Usyk, the master craftsman, just implemented his game plan and didn't give Anthony Joshua a sniff. There was a little period in the middle of the fight maybe where you felt the tide was turning and Joshua's got this sort of golden snitch effect, like in Harry Potter, where the fight could be going one way but it doesn't matter because he can end it at any one point, not necessarily at one punch to end the fight but one punch to turn the tide, and that just never came. So if anything, I thought Usyk outboxed him for the first half of the fight, and then when it mattered at the end, at the crunch, he outfought him crucially. So it was a very comprehensive win from the Ukrainian.
Talk to us about that personality, will you? Who is Anthony Joshua and how much are we actually missing out on by only ever seeing the polished persona?
Yeah, it's interesting because you see some people are, well, namely his competitors and maybe knockers from the off are gleefully rejoicing in this defeat, saying he's a hype job. These people obviously aren't familiar with the art of professional boxing, which is literally that, to hype your fighter, and to like dismiss Eddie Hearn and Anthony Joshua for trying to build the best brand possible is a misnomer as far as I'm concerned. But like in any sort of brief dealings I've had with him in the past, it's definitely off the record when he's having, you can kind of see what he's really like as a person, and the media briefings he does, sort of catchphrases and slogan driven stuff, you know, that's that would be more the PR driven side of things. Whereas I think when you actually catch him in more casual settings, he is quite an engaging character. So I don't know, he like his approach to these fights can vary. There was kind of inclinations earlier in the week, last week, that he was trying to almost act relaxed, and that was borne out in his ring walk, which is actually a fantastic ring walk, Rocky IV style. But he was almost trying to exude this to Usyk, as like, this is my domain, I belong here. And that wouldn't nearly work on other fighters. You know, it's that Mike Tyson effect of they're almost beaten before the first bell. Like, how could you not look around at 65,000 or whatever was there at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium and see this guy as the king of the castle and not be a little bit perturbed? But if anything, Usyk rose to the occasion. Like, this guy is a road warrior. He won all of his cruiserweight titles in his opponent's backyard, went and knocked out Tony Bellew in Liverpool, and then came to London Town, like a couple of miles down the road from where Anthony Joshua used to train, and absolutely dismissed him with aplomb. So as much as Joshua has a good personality, I think we might be seeing a lot more of Alexander Usyk. I know boxing fans are very familiar with his jovial personality. Him and Lomachenko are like thick as thieves, and you know, as much as they're sort of captivating guys in the ring, they've got sort of charm about them outside it. So the Klitschkos are gone, but Ukraine has got its new sort of hotbed of boxing at the moment.
We'll talk about Usyk in a moment. I just want to linger on Joshua and what happens next. So we've seen him come back from a defeat, and it was fairly comprehensive, his comeback. The issue was, though, that Ruiz came back, it seemed like having partied as the heavyweight champ. It was like, this is completely unexpected. I've won the lotto and I'm going to live that life. And fair play to him. He went and lived his best life. And that fight was essentially, the rematch was essentially over before it began. And we knew that when we saw the shape that he presented himself back in. That's not going to happen in this instance. So how do you plot a course for a comeback here? Does it have to automatically go through with the rematch? Or does he actually just go and try and take one of the other big fights where he is an underdog and gets up for that, and that's his way back in?
Yeah, it seems I kind of would err towards the second option there, where I don't see a necessarily a path to victory for him short of like just knocking him out. Like, I can't see him ever winning or ever like turning that tide wholly where he can exude dominance over Usyk in the ring. So it would just be a case of going hell for leather in the first couple of rounds, which is not necessarily Anthony Joshua's style. He's more of a mid-range fighter. He's never been a brawler, but the one distinct advantage he had over Usyk and will always have over Usyk is his size, and he wasn't able to make that a factor the other night. So it is interesting, and it's kind of the Floyd Mayweatherification of boxing, where defeat somehow mean you go right down the pecking order, when, as we all know, the best boxers of yore all have a slew of defeats on their record. That doesn't necessarily mean anything. It just means that they're fighting the best, and when the best fight each other, this is what happens. And when the undisputed cruiserweight champion moves up to fight the unified heavyweight champion, those are the fights we want to see, and that's what happened at the weekend. So there's no shame in Joshua losing to Usyk, but as you alluded to there, whether he can actually win a rematch is kind of the key point here. Where the demand is, like, can he still fill stadiums in the UK with defeats on his record as they start to build up, because people are going to start looking at him and realise that it's not quite the item that's been marketed to them for years, that he's not this untouchable behemoth. So I think he, like, styles make fights, which is that boxing adage, but I think Joshua would have a chance against the likes of Fury. Him against Wilder would be a firefight, but Usyk just looks like too tough a nut to crack for him, as far as I'm concerned. So as much as they're hell-bent on taking the rematch, and you can't write anything off in heavyweight boxing, I think we're probably going to see a similar pattern, if anything. And Kenny Egan made a point like this last night. I think Usyk saw towards the end of that fight that he can stop Joshua, and his corner were almost dissuading him from doing that for fear of maybe putting himself in harm's way. But I think he knows now he can get to Joshua, and you could probably see a more conclusive win next time around.
It's remarkable that we're actually talking about Anthony Joshua in this way, that if you go back 2 years, if you go back before the Ruiz fight, even talking about Tyson Fury as somebody who might be able to beat Anthony Joshua would have been maybe a tiny bit of a reach, not a big reach, but Anthony Joshua would have been favoured. This guy was being spoken about as one of the greatest of all time, not just one of the greatest of his generation. And now we're talking about him as somebody who is an underdog in a number of potential fights in this generation. So has he disimproved, or has he been, or was he totally overrated in 19, or which one of those two things is closer to the truth?
I think the Ruiz fight, as much as it was a physical knockback in the fact that he was stopped in that fight, it's definitely the psychological aspect of it. And we've seen that in heavyweight boxing with the likes of Lennox Lewis and Vladimir Klitschko, who were stopped sort of early in their career, maybe in the mid part, and just totally changed their styles, became a lot less aggressive. And Vladimir Klitschko was very much belt and braces towards the latter end of his career. And Joshua, in so much as they actually fought each other, is like a big fan of Klitschko, and you can kind of sense he's trying to model himself on that. But as I said at the top, he's kind of caught between what he wants to be, because what made Anthony Joshua great in the early part of his career was sensing vulnerability in his opponent, maybe seeking out that vulnerability and pouncing on it. Whereas now it's almost like he's waiting for the opportunity to present itself. And against someone like Usyk, they're not going to give you those openings. Fury, the same thing. Like, as much as I think Fury would probably engage with Joshua a bit more up close, maybe give him those openings, and that's why he might give him some opening into that fight. And Wilder, similarly, like, that would just be a total firefight between himself and Joshua. So I think people would still like to see that come what may, regardless of what happens in that trilogy between Wilder and Fury. But yeah, no, it is a bit of a mad one, because, like, casual sports fans would look at Joshua and how he's been built and presume, you know, he's untouchable, but it's very much not the case. And to his credit, you look at his resume, he's fought a string of really impressive fighters on the run here. and Usyk was a mandatory challenger, but we've seen in boxing history that doesn't necessarily mean anything. He could just as easily have dropped that belt. Usyk wasn't a money fight, quote unquote. Like, the draw in that one was Joshua to the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. It wasn't as if Usyk was playing any great part in that, and it was a high risk, low reward fight for Joshua, and unfortunately he got his comeuppance in that one.
You mentioned the Mayweather aspect of boxing. Is there a chance that the couple of defeats actually increases the interest in Anthony Joshua, that people are showing up because they want to cheer on their man, they want to cheer on the hometown fighter who they do not know whether or not he's going to win or not?
Yeah, it's a whole new dynamic because, as you said, you look at the fights at the top of that heavyweight division, short of Wilder, you'd have to make Joshua a distinct underdog in all of them. And also the frustration amongst the boxing community that these fights weren't made at the zenith when they should have been. Like, you cast your mind back to Fury, or get to Wilder Joshua, when they were both undefeated and for an undisputed championship, like two mega punchers, and that would have been like manna from heaven for the likes of ESPN to try and brand build that. It could have been one that catapulted boxing back into the mainstream. Similarly, like, we saw the talk over here, like, Fury Joshua would have just broken all manner of records. I think any prospect of that going to the likes of Saudi Arabia now probably gone. Like, does it still have the lure that it did in other parts of the world? If anything, if there's one sort of silver lining from all this, is that Fury Joshua fight in spectacle terms will probably happen in the UK if it does happen, and that's where realistically it should happen. If it's going to be at like Wembley Stadium or something, a fight that goes down in the annals, it should happen on their home soil. So I think those fights will still happen, but they probably don't have the glamour they once did.
Well, I'm not sure now. I'm concerned that what's happened is that we end up, that might happen, but it'll happen in the way that Mayweather-Pacquiao happened way after it should have happened. And, like, is everybody not just kind of crying this morning and since the defeat, going, why didn't we just take the 200 million when it was there for us? Why didn't we just take the money on the table instead of trying to make it into a $500 million fight, when actually that fight at that price was the right fight at the right time?
Yeah, well, the Wilder Joshua one is unforgivable because that's a couple of years ago now, and then Joshua lost to Ruiz, and subsequently Wilder had his thing with Fury, and that just sort of unraveled. But the Fury Joshua one, in defense of parties involved, like, Hearn had that fight made for this year, and it kind of plays into a little bit of how this Usyk fight slipped under the radar, because everybody was like building themselves up to watch Joshua Fury around November time this year, and then Wilder won his legal case essentially to force the trilogy, and this all happened quite quickly, where Usyk was kind of put on ice knowing that the Fury Joshua fight was about to happen and was told, you can fight next. But then when that fight fell apart, Usyk was basically slotted in as Joshua's next opponent, and Joshua went from fighting Fury to fighting a whole different kettle of fish in Usyk. So I think people probably thought, it's not Fury, so we're not that interested. But I think most people in boxing would have known that if Usyk can implement his game plan effectively here, he's going to win. So yeah, like, I kind of agree that the Joshua Wilder one is like that's the one that got away. But Joshua Fury, they essentially had it made, and it was kind of legal.
I'm sure they could have given Wilder enough money to make that legal challenge go away. They could have found enough cash. What's the price point there? Come on, lads. You can fight the winner. We'll write that into the contract. And then you give Usyk enough money to just kick his down and everybody's happy.
Yeah, it was a really odd one. Like, it was, Hearn was basically saying, we're going to announce this tomorrow. And then tomorrow became next week. And then it became a couple of weeks time. And then you were kind of thinking, what's going on here? And then I think Wilder, for all that you said that, and I kind of agree, you could have just given him whatever X amount of money and he would have waited. He seemed hell bent on having another fight with Fury. And to what extent that's wise after what Fury did to him in the second fight, we'll see in a couple of weeks. But who's to say Wilder doesn't spark Fury in a couple of weeks? And this whole thing is up in the air again. So this is heavyweight boxing, Jerry. Anything can happen.
In that instance, right, and just the way you've spoken about it here, there is definitely a comeback for Joshua, where he dominates the cruiserweight and he uses his height advantage and his reach advantage and his weight advantage and actually finishes that fight early. He tires out his opponent. It'd be a quantum leap forward for him in terms of boxing intelligence, and we haven't seen it before, but it's not beyond the bounds of possibility that at 31... with 20 odd fights, he's actually, some penny drops. And at that point, then everything else is back on the table again. It's like, oh, hang on a second. You took the belt back. That's an incredible comeback story. Is that the next fight? Is that what happens next? The rematch happens straight away? Is that the right thing for them to do?
I think if I was advising them, I'd probably advise against it. But like, if they do pull off that redemption story, that redemptive arc, it would be something else. Like, we're talking about different narratives that can be built around Joshua. That sort of everyman thing, that Rocky comeback, where for the first time in his career, I believe, he's going to be going into this one as an underdog. So even in the Ruiz rematch, people denoted that as a bit of a one-off occurrence. Even though Ruiz was a problematic style for Joshua, they figured he would get it right in the rematch. And he fought a very safety-first approach in that Ruiz rematch. It was kind of trying to stymie any threat from Ruiz, and he basically walked to a points decision. Whereas in this one, if he tries to outbox Usyk, which he did at the weekend and was kind of baffling, that seemed to be the game plan, he's got no chance. So yeah, he's going to have to throw caution to the wind in a rematch. And it should make for a fantastic fight if Joshua does actually press the action in the early going. But it's an interesting one. Rob McCracken took a lot of stick, Joshua's coach Robert McCracken, after the Ruiz fight, and there was talk of maybe getting a new coach in, and Joshua plumped to stick with McCracken but added different pieces around him. And you saw it in the corner there at the weekend, there was so many different voices. McCracken was telling him to do one thing, and then Joshua was going into the ring and doing totally different things. So I think that's something they need to sort out pretty quickly. Like, what kind of fighter is Joshua trying to be? I appreciate Usyk has 350 amateur fights plus his accelerated pro career, which has been unparalleled, but Joshua is very much learning on the job. He won his gold medal quickfire fashion, was like obviously plumped into the pros and built into the marquee fighter he became. But through his career, he's basically been like learning as he goes, and it's a bit late for that now. I think he is what he's going to be, and he has to kind of decide now what that is. And I think for the Usyk fight in particular, he needs to go back to basics and use that size advantage. I know it's not necessarily his approach, but try and lean on him where possible, because you know what, that's what Fury would do if he fought Usyk. He'd as he did with Wilder, he'd use that superior size advantage. So if anything, there was a long time there in the early part of this century where the Klitschkos ruled the roost, and there didn't seem to be any outlet for other fighters to emerge. At least now we've got all these different dynamics to talk about. So heavyweight boxing is alive and well.
Yeah, the four kings. Did AJ turn off Rocky IV immediately after Apollo Creed's ring walk, asks Aina Finn on YouTube?
No Easy Way Out has to be the best walkout song ever, but you have to win though. You can't come out to No Easy Way Out and then lose.
Can he do it again?
Oh, I don't know. See, now what he has to do if he wants to go full Rocky is go to Ukraine and knock Usyk out. That's the only way to really reverse this issue. But like, you have to hand it to Usyk. The man is just not he's unflappable. It's incredible that he seems to, like, the more difficult the task, the more brilliant he seems to be. And I can't imagine, as you kind of alluded to with Ruiz, that he, the glitz and glamour of it all, he was on Jimmy Fallon, he was on Jimmy Kimmel, he was on all the Jimmys over in America, and I don't think Usyk's going to be going in for any of that. So he's going to be, he's a boxer through and through, and he's been there and done it. Like, he's followed Evander Holyfield into this rarefied air alongside David Haye of people who've, like, unified cruiserweight division, gone up and won at heavyweight. And like Holyfield, he's like a de facto champion. Like, he's beaten one of the top dogs in the heavyweight division and did it impressively. So yeah, I don't think, if Joshua's relying on some Usyk complacency, it's not going to be forthcoming as far as I'm concerned.
Is this unparalleled, where we've seen somebody this quickly reach this level of acclaim and titles, and to go from the cruiserweight to the heavyweight like that and to be so dominant? My boxing history knowledge is not sufficient to say it's never happened before, but it feels like it's kind of once in an epoch.
Well, like when David Haye essentially was undisputed cruiserweight champion, there was a little bit of politics going on there, so he didn't get all of the belts, but he was the de facto top guy at cruiserweight. Then he moved up and beat Valuev for the heavyweight title, but as we touched on there a few minutes ago, Valuev wasn't necessarily considered the top champion. The two Klitschkos were the guys to beat in that occasion. He ultimately fought Vladimir and lost, whereas Evander Holyfield is the other comparable one, where he did both in the 90s. He was immaculate cruiserweight, and then like was a really forceful heavyweight, had those classic fights with Mike Tyson, maybe more memorable than classic, but then he fought Lennox Lewis. So he had a brilliant heavyweight career to follow up his cruiserweight career. But yeah, like, what Usyk has done, he's put himself in a very limited group here, and ironically Lomachenko would be the other one who's kind of fast-tracked his way off the back of that amateur pedigree in his late 20s into these mid-30s now, where he's just making up for last time. Usyk was world champion, or undisputed world champion, after 15 fights, and now, like, a couple of years later, he's one belt away from doing the same thing at heavyweight. The tricky one about Fury, should Fury win that Wilder fight, and there's no guarantee of that either, but I think the problem for Usyk there would be he's basically fighting a bigger version of himself, and, like, as technically proficient as Usyk is, Fury can boast that too, and probably has more strings to his bow in a strictly professional sense. So that'd be a very intriguing fight. You'd have to lean towards Fury just on the basis of that size, but, like, pound for pound is a thing that boxing people like to talk about, is if lads from certain divisions were all fighting at the same weight, who would be the best? And to Usyk's credit, he's given away a big amount of weight to these heavyweights and still outboxing them. So to that end, I think if you're talking about best boxers on the planet right now, I think Usyk could have to be one, possibly two at this point.
Right, good stuff, Ronan. Thanks a million for joining us. Cheers.
Cheers, lads.
Ronan Mullen gave us some thoughts on the boxing situation at the heavyweights at the moment. OTB AM is brought to you by Gillette. Good morning. Start with Gillette. Put your best face forward with their new and improved razors.
OTB AM. With Gillette. Put your best face forward with our new and improved razors.